Today on the Barry Farrow Show, we're going to look at why it's a serious threat to your freedom to feign a National Day of Prayer without God. Welcome to Culture Shift, the Barry Farrow Show. We are living in an American culture that has shifted from tolerant to cancel culture, from decent to rude, from optimistic to cynical, and from relatively safe to increasingly violent. But it's not too late. I hope to equip you with a historical framework applied to current events so you can lead and get America back on track for good. Hey, welcome back to the Barry Farrow Show, Culture Shift. Last Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. It was not held at the Capitol, as has been the case for over 70 years. And the proclamation, which is required by law, had no mention of God in it. It's a very serious problem to not mention God in a process that should be all about God. Better to not have the day at all than to feign that it's about prayer when it's not. In last Thursday's National Day of Prayer, many thousands of people from all across the country gathered on the Capitol steps and state houses and other proximities to governmental power, and they prayed. In fact, some people from all around the world joined together to honor God and to pray for government authorities. The idea is pretty simple. It's to ask God to have mercy on us and to grant government leaders wisdom. The idea of the government praying for wisdom in the United States actually predates the Declaration of Independence. Boston declared a day of prayer in 1768. Virginia established a day of fasting and prayer in 1774. Thomas Jefferson said of that day, "The effect of the day through the whole colony was like a shock of electricity." How about them apples for a deist? That's actually called the power of God, Thomas, but anyway. Making the prayer national was logical for us. In fact, way back in July 1775, the Second Continental Congress initiated a National Day of Prayer. It was not a formal federal government, but it sort of functioned as such, and it was trying to figure out what it would become. The call to prayer was designed to encourage everyone in the country to join forces in asking God for wisdom. A year later, the Declaration of Independence was formalized. The Continental Congress had asked the nation to join together to ask God to inspire them with wisdom, and our nation was born. Now let's fast forward to the Civil War. In the middle of the Civil War, Senator James Harlan introduced a resolution for a National Day of Prayer. Of course, Abraham Lincoln was the president at the time. And when he gives his proclamation, he gives credit to the Senate for recognizing that there is a supreme authority, and he recognizes that the true leader of the United States is Almighty God. His proclamation goes on to ask the nation to depend on the power of God, to confess their sins, and to submit to the truth announced in the Holy Scripture and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. He goes on to say that we have grown in wealth and power and numbers, but have forgotten God. He said we've become too proud to pray to the God that made us. So, April 30th, 1863 became a National Day of Prayer and Fasting. Now, fasting from what? Well, the POTUS requested that all the people abstain from their ordinary secular pursuits and get together in all the various places of worship and dedicate the day wholly to the Lord. Fast forward to 1952. There's a National Day of Prayer becoming official. The POTUS is now required by law to sign a proclamation of prayer each year. In this section of the U.S. Code, there are dozens of patriotic sections covering everything from the national anthem to the Holocaust. In the first chapter, titled Patriotic and National Observances, there are 46 sections, and the 19th is the National Day of Prayer. So Congress said, "We shall have a prayer, a day of prayer, each year that we call a National Day of Prayer." But it didn't actually specify that it had to be conducted on the first Thursday in May. That did come later, though, and that was in 1988. And that law was signed by President Reagan. So in total, there have been 150 national calls to prayer since we ratified the Constitution in 1789. That's a whole bunch before the 1952 requirement by law. There have been 73 presidential proclamations for a National Day of Prayer since 1952. And they all mention God in some form, except for the one just made last Thursday. The proclamation from the POTUS was 485 words long. It's hard to talk about prayer for almost 500 words and not mention God. By law, these proclamations are formally written, and I wonder if it's illegal to not mention God. And here's where I get that. Here's the actual text of the law. The president shall issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a national day of prayer on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches, in groups, and as individuals. So whether it's illegal or not, I'll leave that to the legal scholars, but it is a fact that in the POTUS's 485-word proclamation, he used the word God zero times. Prayer is a conversation with God. The POTUS proclamation seems to have a fundamental misunderstanding of what prayer is. The proclamation never talks about appealing to God for help or appealing to God for asking him for forgiveness. It never mentions a scripture that's authored by God. It never implores us to humble ourselves and seek God. It never asks God to heal and to unify. Now, this 2021 proclamation doesn't seem to comply with the U.S. code. It's just not honest about prayer. There's no mention of the one to whom you pray. And just as a comparison, let's look at the previous POTUS's proclamation in 2020. And you can go back to just about any president and get a similar assessment. Last year, we had a pandemic and we had an election year. So the proclamation could have been used as an opportunity to score some political points, but it wasn't, and it shouldn't be. The proclamation mentions God 10 times. It refers to God as creator or almighty another 5. In this proclamation, the previous POTUS asks God for guidance. He asks God for his will to be done. He asks for God's divine counsel. The proclamation talks about God's love and about reaching out to Almighty God and asking for God's help. And in the context of doing this, we have a plea for an acknowledgement of God being a higher being than us and a higher power, and that we need him. And then he speaks to how throughout history of our nation that Americans have turned to God for guidance at different moments, what he calls pivotal moments. And he speaks to how going all the way back to 1775, there's a good reason that our Continental Congress initiated a National Day of Prayer. We need God to help us get through the next phase. Going back to the Continental Congress, it was whether or not we should even declare our independence. For the POTUS last year, it was COVID. Whether you're an evangelical Christian or not, the notion is that we could ask God for help together. And so we've had all these times, all this history of prayer, and regardless of whether it was a Democrat or a Republican, they've all mentioned God Almighty God. Even a very liberal Democrat, FDR, asked God to help us, asking for God to give us true strength, asking for God to make our hearts stout. That's from FDR. So here we have all these presidents asking for God to help us work according to his will, and it's a mark of a good and wise nation to carve out a day where all of us say, we need you, God. We worship you. We honor you. And our nation's dependent on you. Would you help us? The conclusion of the previous POTUS's proclamation was this, and I quote, I invite the citizens of our nation to pray for God's guidance and continued protection. Pretty straightforward and simple, not very offensive, but the current POTUS couldn't even muster up that oblique of a claim. Their proclamation has no such respect. The current POTUS, the 2021 proclamation, is not faithful to his own professed Catholic faith. You know, back in 1952, this bill was initiated by a private citizen, a wealthy guy by the name of Conrad Hilton. This is the guy that went out and provided this day housing to the oil industry. And later he's credited for creating this famous term about real estate, location, location, location. His name, Conrad Hilton, he founded the Hilton Hotels. Anyway, he uses his wealth and his influence to get with a senator by the name of Carlson of Kansas to formalize the National Day of Prayer. And his argument was simple. God helped us get through World War I, the Great Depression, and World War II. We can't forget God. The generation coming up behind us might not remember how much God helped us. We've got to do things to make sure they do. They might not remember how many miracles there were in World War II. I mean, all these adults right now, Conrad is speaking of, understand it and remember it, but it's not remembered in a way that's official. I mean, God literally confused the enemy of freedom and saved our country. So we need to reestablish this nation upon what we're founded upon. We weren't perfect, but what we have going for us is we rely on God and we honor God and we trust God and we believe in God. And as a nation, whether you've got a different rendition or a variation of your belief in God or not, we believe in God and we need him. And so his compelling argument won the day, and this concept was put together in the form of a law in Title 36 of the U.S. Code, Section 119. And later it developed into a committee. And by 1987, Senator Strom Thurmond writes that this a new bill that introduces to the Senate to formalize this National Day of Prayer on the first Thursday in May. And that formal designation becomes law in 1988 under Ronald Reagan. The concept was profound. Let's set a day for almost exactly 6 months from Thanksgiving, another national day of honoring God, and we will bookend the year in prayer. What we as a nation were saying was profound. We are a nation based on Judeo-Christian values. We believe in the idea of the God of the Bible, and we're going to acknowledge that and say that to the world. This is not some disputable discussion from the 1700s. This passed overwhelmingly in 1988. And ever since then, there have been proclamations which have honored God during the National Day of Prayer. And so when you have a proclamation that does not honor God, but it is communicating ideas connected to prayer, it's borderline blasphemous. Well, here's why I say that. Blasphemy's formal definition is as follows. I'm going to quote. It's an insult that shows contempt, disrespect, or lack of reverence for God. It's contempt or lack of respect for God himself. It's directly against God. Now, I'm a Protestant, but I've learned that the Catholic Church, which the POTUS is a member of, has specific admonitions against the damage done to your own heart for directly disrespecting God. And that proclamation disrespects God because it insinuates that you can have prayer without God. You can't communicate that there's such a thing as prayer without communicating to whom prayer is all about. And the Christian faith is all about God. It all starts with God. God created us in his image, and God is the one who is deserving of prayer and worship and honor. So why would these smart proclamation writers avoid the use of God? Well, they've got a relativistic view of the world, and they distance themselves from any notion of a humble acknowledgement of an ultimate supreme authority. As a result, they use their wordsmithing skills to neutralize the power of praying to an all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, transcendent God. It's a deliberate way to effectively get rid of the explicit intent of the National Day of Prayer. What did that law say? The president shall issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May is the National Day of Prayer on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches and groups and as individuals. You know, the founders weren't perfect, but they were overwhelmingly believers in the God of the Bible. When they were looking for guidance, they looked to God. When they were trying to sort out how to form a country, they looked to God, and they asked the whole country to pray for them. Congress would actually get on their knees and ask God to help them. This nation has a real history. It has a strong, powerful foundation. In spite of anything that we had that was frail about us, we based our decisions, aligning ourselves in the context of honoring God. God's been very kind to us. It's not a good idea to twist and contort your way out of the explicit meaning of the National Day of Prayer. Tell your government officials to honor God. If this government is not under God, then what's it under? A government run by officials who have no respect for Almighty God is not a safe government. They represent a frightening threat to your freedom. God bless you. Until next time.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. check out today's show notes below this episode and at theberryferrashow.com. This podcast is also available in video format at The Barry Ferrah Show on YouTube. See you next time.